Well, good morning, and so glad that you're here today. So it's fun that we've been walking through this series with Joel over the last few weeks, and just been fun as he's been talking to us about this whole idea of come and see and what it means to create a come and see kind of church. And he talked about North Point, of which we are a strategic partner. So we're a part of this network of churches. North Point Ministries began several years ago, and through that, Joel talked about a little bit why they wanted to do what they did, and the fact that when they did that in Atlanta, they didn't need another church. They just wanted to create a church where they could invite their friends and the unchurched people in their community to come and to see what God had in store for them. And the fact that we get to do that here is just really an incredible thing as well. So I get to continue this series, or actually conclude it as we get to finish that off today, and I'm looking forward to that. But I hope you've all had a great summer. Can you believe that it's only a few weeks before school starts back and the unofficial end of summer? It just kind of comes and goes in a hurry, you know? So anyway, but I hope you've enjoyed the series as well as we've kind of gone through this throughout the summer too. But one of the things, as we were looking at this and talking about this, I was kind of thinking back through the whole idea of why we started Beachside, and the fact that there was a group of people that got together and decided that we needed a church like that here. We just wanted a place where we could invite our friends, people that we knew in the community that didn't have a relationship with Christ. We wanted a place to invite them to come and to check it out, because we knew this one simple truth, the same way that when we look back and through all the stories that that Joel's been telling, we can see. And that is that Jesus needs to be experienced, not explained. Jesus just needs to be experienced and not explained, because nobody can argue with what God has done for you. And I know that sometimes it's real easy to try to get on the defensive and try to explain everything away, and sometimes it just doesn't make sense. But when we can invite someone to come and to see and experience for themselves what God wants to do in them, it is a completely different story. And nobody can argue with you about what God has done for you. And when your friend, or when the person who has been arguing with you about it or whatever it is, begins to experience God for themselves, nobody can argue with that either. And that's what we wanted to do. And so about 8 years ago, a group of people got together, a small group of people, and said, hey, we're going to do that here. We're going to start this church here in this community. And they just made some significant sacrifices, sacrificed their finances, sacrificed some of their time, sacrificed a lot of their influence as they leveraged it for other people in the community. And we had our first service, ironically enough, you've heard me say this, I just think it's hysterical that we had our first service at the Boys and Girls Club, which is about 50 feet that way. We actually used the same parking that we use now, and we did that at the very beginning. But I was looking back through this, and I found a couple of pictures. So wanted to show these to you, and this is our very first service at the Boys and Girls Club. And some of you are thinking, yeah, I remember that. And some of you are thinking, well, I'd have never have gone to that. But and by the way, we thought that crowd was huge. We're like, wow, look at all the people. This is crazy. So we also had our first Upstreet. This is it. This is what Upstreet looked like the very first Sunday that we had a church. And we had our very first Wombaland. And this was it right here as we got to invest in those little preschoolers. So tons of fun. Can't believe that it's been as long as it has, 6 years now, and that we get to continue to do what we do. But I want to put a word up here, because I want you to look at this word. And as we move forward, I want to talk about this for a minute. Indispensable. Really important word. And I want to tell you that here is something that I know about you. This may be your first Sunday here. I may have never met you. I may not know anything else about you. But I know this to be true. I know that you want that to be a reflection of you. I know that you want to feel that in your life, in some area, and for some of us, it may be in different places and different things, but we all want to be indispensable, right? We all want to feel like we're indispensable, because, you know, that's important. That means that we're needed. It means that we feel like we're important. It means that we're a necessary part of whatever it is. For some of you, that's at work, and when you go to work, you want to be indispensable. You want to be necessary. You want to be needed, right? And so you work really hard at it. You go to conferences and to training things, and you work on your craft or your skill, or you get a degree, or you do something to get better at what you do so that you will be a necessary, needed, important part of what you do at work. Because the other extreme of that is this word. It's dispensable. And nobody likes what it feels like to be dispensable, right? At work, some of you felt that before, and what? You ended up finding another job, right? Because you weren't necessary, you weren't needed, you weren't an important part of what was taking place. But it's not just true in work. It's also true in our relationships, right? We want to be indispensable in our relationships. And if that's a relationship with our spouse, or if it's a relationship with our friends, whatever it is, we want to feel like we are a needed, necessary part of the relationships and the people around us. And sometimes it's just for a season. Sometimes we're an indispensable part of something, but it doesn't last forever. It's just a short time, short-term kind of thing. And so for some of you are moms, and you have kids at home, right? And nobody has to state this. Everybody knows this to be true. You are the most indispensable person in the family, right? We can't We can't survive without moms. That's just true. But at some point, your kids are going to grow up, and they're going to graduate high school, and they're going to go off to college, and you're going to be an empty nester. And you're still going to be a mom, and you're still going to be important, and you're still going to be necessary. But it changes. Something changes there, and you're not quite as indispensable in that relationship as you once were. It just changes as things come in cycles and things go in seasons. But I just want you to know that there is another place where you are indispensable. And you may not know this, and you may not feel this, you may not believe this, but you are an indispensable part of the church. Every one of you are an indispensable part of the church. You're a necessary, needed, important part of the church. And I know that because as we read God's word, we read it over and over again. It tells us that and explains that and lets us know just how true that is. That every single one of you, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you believe, you are a necessary part of the church. Joel was talking to us for the past few weeks about this idea of the disciples and what that looked like when Jesus was here on the earth. And he talked a lot about the stories and the adventures that the disciples had with Jesus. And it had to have been a pretty amazing thing. Right? Because here they were, and they were having all these incredible experiences as they were traveling with Jesus, and he was going to different places, and people were following him and coming, flocking from all over to come see him, and he was performing all these amazing miracles, right? He was healing people that were sick, and blind people were able to see, and Jesus walked on water. Wouldn't it have been something to have experienced that? And then, he fed thousands of people from one little basket of bread and fish. Even turned water into wine. These incredible things that were taking place. And so all these experiences and these adventures that the disciples were on. And then all of a sudden, these incredible highs that they were having went to an unbelievable low as Jesus went to the cross. And when Jesus went to the cross, all of a sudden the disciples were left alone, and they were looking around and they were trying to figure out, what does this look like and what does this mean? And in their confusion and their bewilderment that took place over the next few days, as they were trying to sort all this out, all of a sudden, there he was. And Jesus was back. And there were hundreds of people that witnessed the fact that Jesus was back from the dead, and he was there and he was with them again. And so, I'm sure at that point they're looking around and they're going, oh, he told us he was going to do it, but he really did it. And here we are, how's he going to top this? What comes next? What's Jesus going to do next? Because it went from so high and then we weren't sure and now it's this. And, I'm sure that there were questions and I'm sure they were excited. They couldn't believe how, something incredible is going to happen. I don't know what that's going to look like. And what Jesus did next was as unpredictable as everything else he had done up to that point. He left. He left again, and he left for good. And here's what he says. Here's what he said as he was getting ready for that. He said, I've told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you'll believe. So he told the disciples, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go, and I'm going to be gone forever, but I have a plan. And I have a better plan than what you think my plan is, but my better plan isn't me. I've already done my part. My better plan is you. And not just you, John, and you, Peter, or you individually, but you, all of you. My plan is you. And that's an incredible thing. And here's what he said in Acts 1:8. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, I'm from Alabama, and sometimes being from Alabama, we realize that everybody else aren't quite as smart as we are. And so we have to make some adjustments when things don't work out just right. And sometimes the English language just has deficiencies, and so we have to solve that problem. And we realized that it just wasn't possible to translate the original meaning of the Greek here into the English language in a way that just made sense. So if we were reading this in an Alabama translation, we'd simply insert the word y'all, because that's what he meant. Y'all is a proper word, right? It means you all, as in plural. It's not just you individually, but it's all of you together. And so the proper translation for that really should be you all. But you all will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And y'all will be my witnesses. Because every single one of you are an important, necessary, indispensable part of God's plan and his purpose. Every one of you. Every one of us. God had this incredible plan, and he said, here's how I'm going to do this. Here's how I'm going to put this together. And it's a better plan than what you think I have. And my plan's not me. My plan is you. And I'm sure the disciples were confused. I'm sure that they didn't know what to do next, because at that time, following Jesus simply meant following Jesus, right? As in, there's Jesus and I'm going to follow him. And now Jesus is gone, because we read on and it says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. And so Jesus left and the disciples were alone and they weren't sure what to do. But what we know for sure is that his plan worked. It was right. It worked. And we know that it worked because history tells us that it worked. Because there were a few thousand people that were following Jesus when he left. And in AD 100, about 65 years after Jesus left, that number had gone from a few thousand to a million. There were a million people who were following Jesus. But even then, out of 181 million people, that was only 0.6% of the population of the earth. But today there are 2.2 billion people that claim to be followers of Christ. 2.2 billion. And that's 2.2 billion out of 6.9 billion. It's almost 32% of the population of the earth. And so when we look at that, we just know that it worked. God's plan was perfect. And we know that he did this incredible thing and he knew that it wasn't him. I mean, he started it and he got it moving, but he said, my plan is better than that. My plan isn't me. My plan is you. Because I have a place for you and I have a place for you to fit and I've got something that I want you to do. And when we began to follow that and when his disciples, the initial group of followers did that, it turned into something incredible. And so the Apostle Paul went out and he left after that and he started traveling around to different communities, different cities around the Mediterranean, and he started sharing this idea of Christ and creating this whole idea of come and see, and hey, you just need to come and experience this. You need to come and see this. But as he did that, he realized that he needed to do something to explain how people fit and what that looked like. And so he created this metaphor and he used it over and over again to explain how people fit into this relationship with Christ and how we all fit in together. And it was this incredible metaphor that I think is even more appropriate today than it was then. And it just makes sense. It helps us understand what he was saying. And he uses this in several places, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to read this to you because I think this is just really, really good. In verse 12, he said, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Makes sense, right? He's saying that there are a lot of you, lots of parts, but we're all one. It's just one body. It's one group. And so he uses this analogy of a human body as the body of Christ or as the church. It says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so what he is saying here is, there's all of you, all you individual parts, but there's one Spirit. And so when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to send the Spirit of God, and it's going to indwell, the Spirit of God's literally going to indwell in you. And God's Spirit is going to unite you. It's going to bring you together in a way where all of you as individuals are going to become as one. So whether you're slave or free, whether, you know, wherever nation you come from, whoever your daddy is, or whatever language you speak, or all of those things don't matter, but all of you together are going to be united as one through the Spirit of God. He says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. He uses another illustration. He says, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So regardless of what part each part is a part of the body. Each part is a part of the body. Every part belongs, every part is significant, every part is important. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And then I love this summary, as he says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So he was intentional. God was incredibly intentional about what he did. When he was putting together the church and putting together people who he knew were going to profess their faith and place their trust in him, he was super intentional about the way that he made you, about the way he gifted you, and about what he desired to do through you. And so just like, you know, when you leave here today, most of you are going to get in a car and you're going to drive to lunch or you're going to go home or wherever it is that you go. And most of your cars are going to take you where you want to go. My car's currently in the shop, so mine's not going to, but all illustrations break down somewhere, I guess. But most of you are going to get in a car that's going to take you where you need to go. And the reason it's going to do that is because there was a car manufacturer that was super intentional about putting the right parts in the right places, right? He didn't say, okay, well, engines are more important and we've got a couple of extras, so let's just make this car with a couple of engines and we'll just leave the transmission out of it. That would never work, right? So regardless of what your part is, your part is an important part, and it was an intentional part by God. He placed you just where he wanted you to be, and he did that on purpose, and that's an amazing thought for you. But then he goes on. He says, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. But some of you feel that way, right? Some of you have been hurt, you've been burned in your relationships, maybe with a previous experience in a church somewhere, maybe somebody told you that you didn't have a place or you didn't have a purpose or you weren't good enough or they made you feel like you weren't. But it's a lie. It's not true, because it says right here, and I believe God's word to be true, that nobody can tell you that you're not important and that you don't fit, but you have a place, a really specific place. He goes on and he says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And there's our word, indispensable. That regardless of how big or how small or how weak or how strong or how insignificant you might think your part is, you are an indispensable part of the church. And that's an incredible thing. That is an incredible thought. And it gives us so much purpose. And it tells us just how special every one of us are in the eyes of God. And then if we skip down to verse 27, there's a great summary statement there where he says, now y'all are the body of Christ. That's the plural form. And each one of you, singular, is a part of it. You're an indispensable part of the body of Christ. You're an important part. You matter, and you have a place. You belong. And here at Beachside, we have an agenda. And it's not a hidden agenda. It's not a secret agenda. It's not something where you have to get indoctrinated before you know what the agenda is. And it's not something that we're going to scare you with or we're going to shock you with. We're just going to tell you right up front, and we're going to tell you as often as we can right up front exactly what that agenda is. Our agenda is for you to become a part of the body of Christ. That's what we want for you. We want you to experience God in ways that will absolutely blow your mind. We want you to experience his goodness. We want you to experience his grace. We want you to experience forgiveness. We want you to experience peace and love and joy and all the things that God has to offer you. And we think that that's possible. When you place your faith and your trust in Christ, there are just things that he does for you that you have to experience. Nobody can explain to you. But we also think that being a part of the body is not just attending a church service. It's not sitting in a row. There's a personal relationship that happens there. And then there's a connectedness with the body, with other believers, that has to take place as well. When you get connected and become a part of what God's doing, and you become a part of his mission and become a real part of his church. And we think it's so important that we try to make it as easy and as clear as we can. And so we talk over and over again about four things that we think are just kind of keystone things or foundational things that you can do to really belong and to feel a part and be connected to the body so that you can experience all God has in store for you. Those four things are this. The first one is we want you to connect in a group. We think that circles are better than rows. That simply means that when you're in a circle of friends in somebody's home, we call those community groups, where you're intentionally meeting with people to study God's word, where you have people praying for you and you get to pray for them, where you're building those relationships, that there is something that happens in your growth in Christ there that can't happen when you're sitting in a row here on a Sunday morning. And we want you to connect in a group. And so we have a group link event. It's a one-time thing that you come to. We do it several times, but this is the easiest way for you to connect into a group is for you to show up in a few weeks. You'll get more information about that. And you'll come just for one night, and it's just an easy way for you to connect into a group with other people. You'll hear more about that later. But the second thing is we want you to serve on a team. We think it's a really big deal when you begin to use your gifts, when you begin to use those talents that you have, and you may not feel like you have any. I promise you have a talent that you can use that can make a difference. And we want you to serve on a team where we can do all the things that we do on Sunday mornings to create a place where people can come and see what God wants to do for them. It's awesome that we invite people to come, but it's not awesome if we invite them to come and there's nothing for them to see, right? So we need you. We need you to serve on a team, to be a part, where you can build relationships with other people and where you can begin to use your gifts and your talents in the way that God designed. The third thing is we want you to give a percentage. We want you to give a percentage of your income to your local church. And we think that's really important as well because God's word tells us that it is. And I think it's important. You've heard me say this probably a million times, but for some reason, our money has a way of getting a hold of us. And when we begin to let go of it and give some of it away, it releases us from the hold that it has on us. God knew that to be true. That's why he said in his word that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And when we begin to give our treasure to support the things of God, then our heart follows. And that's an incredible thing. And so we want you to do that because we want you to experience what that's like. We also want you to invite a friend. Fourth thing is just to invite a friend because we want you to invite the people that you have relationships with, people in this community, and we want you to invite them to come and see what God can do and what God wants to do for them. Now, a couple of things that happen when you become a real connected, integral, important, indispensable part of the body of Christ. Your heart begins to change. God begins to do things in you that's just absolutely incredible. And we want you to experience that. But the other thing is that other people get to experience that as well. That you get to be a part of something where other people get to come and they get to connect and they get to see God and they don't just get to hear him explained, but they get to experience him for themselves and other incredible things begin to happen. I love hearing stories of what is going on in people's lives. And a few minutes ago, we heard these baptism stories from a couple of these kids, Robert and Gracie. And I love listening to their stories. I love Gracie kind of said, hey, I've got a couple of people I want to thank that were just kind of instrumental in my life. And talked about her small group leaders, Grace and Miss Renee, and the difference that they've made and the impact that they had. And that's just an incredible thing. And it's an incredible thing, not just for Gracie, but for Grace and Renee, it is as well, because it's a big deal when you hear your name mentioned and you know that you had an opportunity to play a part in somebody else's life. And I know that because last week we had an opportunity to baptize Hap Meadows. And Hap's a friend of mine, and one of the things that was really neat about that baptism was that Hap mentioned my name. And that doesn't happen very often because usually I'm not on the front lines in relationships and doing things that have that kind of impact, personal impact on people. But Hap, I've had an opportunity to know for several years, and I've been able to walk through some different things with him. And I'll just tell you, it felt good. It felt good when Hap mentioned my name, and I knew that there was just a little part. It wasn't a big part, but there's just a little part that I was able to play in Hap's story and know that the life change that he's experiencing had a little bit of something to do with something that I was able to be a part of. It's a good feeling. It's a good thing to be able to do that. And Hap didn't tell you all of his story. It would have taken too long. But one of the things I love about Hap's story is that he's been a golfer for, you know, all of his adult life, I guess. And Sunday mornings was his golf time. That's when he went out with his golf buddies, and that's when they did their thing. And so for Hap to come to church and begin to experience what God had in store for him, he had to not give up, but rearrange his priorities and his schedule and do some things differently in order to make some really big sacrifices. But when I talked to Hap after his baptism story last week, and he walked off and I was standing back there, and we just started talking about that a little bit, and I asked him about that specific thing, and he said, it doesn't bother me at all. He said, matter of fact, he said, I'm doing everything I can to get my golf buddies to come and experience what God wants to do with them. And I just love that. I love that story, and I love the fact that it wasn't an explanation that made a difference. It was an experience. It was seeing what God could do and understanding because he felt it and because he experienced it for himself. And now Hap is a huge part of what we do and serves on our parking team and probably helps you as you pull into the parking lot when you get here on Sunday mornings. But that's where we are, and that's what we want for you. So that's our agenda, and we want to state that up front. We want to be very clear. We want to make that as easy as we can for you because we want you to experience, and we want the people around you to be able to experience all God has in store for them as well. And so one of the things that we know right now is we look back on our church, and we know that 8 years ago there were a group of people. They got together, I told you a little while ago, and they made some great sacrifices to be able to start this church so they would have a place to invite their friends. But through time, a lot of those people left, and not because they were angry or upset, but because a lot of them, jobs took them to other places. Military has a great way of doing that for us, and it happened then, it's going to happen again. Matter of fact, after that happened, we were able to continue because there were a group of people that had come behind them and kind of took up the reins and started doing some incredible things and made sacrifices that were greater than anything I ever imagined for our church, because they decided that being portable was not the best environment to be able to invite people to come to. And so another group of people came along and said, let's create a permanent facility where we have a better environment to invite our friends to come and be a part of. And so they sacrificed their finances and their time in ways that I truly had never dreamed before to create this so that we can have a better place, just a better opportunity to invite our friends. And now that that's taken place, a lot of those people are gone as well. This summer alone, we had about 40% of our Wombaland and Upstreet volunteers leave. I don't think a single one of them left because they were angry or upset. But the military has a way of moving people off every few years and creating some pretty, pretty big holes. And so right now, one of the things we want to do to make it as easy for you as we possibly can to find a way to get connected and get involved is we want to show you a place where you can serve. And so we've got a board that you probably saw when you walked in this morning. It's right out here in this hallway. And on that board, there are some specific cards. These white cards all represent a specific spot where a volunteer needs to serve, but we don't currently have someone in that position. So it's not just a general, it's not just a wish list. That's a specific spot. So at 1045 in Upstreet, one of those cards says small group leader. That means there's a second grade group of boys or a third grade group of boys that in 2 weeks when school starts back and we start our new ministry season, won't have a small group leader, won't have a small group to be a part of. we need to fill these spots. We need to get in there and serve and to connect these kids because we want to invite them to come and experience all God has in store for them. And we don't want them to be left out and we don't want them to not have a place to go. We are about to open a few new Wombaland rooms. We have been slammed with babies. Thank you, ladies. We've been slammed with babies in Wombaland. It is great. I love walking in there and seeing all the babies, but we've got to open a new babies room in Wombaland. And so it's great that we have the physical space that we're about to be able to put them in, but I don't think any of you moms want us putting your baby in a room without somebody to rock them and hold them and change their diaper and take care of them while they're there. And so some of these spots just represent that. They're all very specific things, very specific places that we would like to invite you to come and serve. And so here's what we would really like to ask you to do. You were given an orange card when you came in this morning. And we would like you to take that orange card on one side. We want you to write your name. If you're not currently serving, we want you to write your name, your email, and your phone number on the back of that card. And then on the other side, there's some pens and some Sharpies when you leave today in that little foyer. We want you to write your first name on the front of that card. And we want you to look at this board and we want you to pick a spot. And so if it's host team in Wombaland or Upstreet, and by the way, our guest services team overall and our production team in here and even our student ministry right now, we're great. We're set. We're ready and getting ready to kick off fall. But Wombaland and Upstreet is where we have, those are two places we have the big holes. And so we want you to write your name on that card and we want you to go out there and look at that board and we want you to pick one of these spots. And it could be host team, which just means 1045, Wombaland, you know, I can be a part of the host team, and that just means I'm going to be helping check in parents and kids and help walk them where they need to go. Tech team or production is just helping with the production in those two environments. Small group leader, there are all sorts of different places that you can serve. So we want you to pick one, and we want you to take your orange card, and we want you to stick it over that white card or just remove that white card and pin your orange card in place of it. And when every white card's gone, then we know that we're set for all God wants to do in this community through our church this fall. We think we have an incredible opportunity. We want to take advantage of it. We don't want to turn anybody away. We want to make sure that we are doing all that we can for the people of our community. But we also want to make sure that we're doing all we can for you. We want you to experience all God has in store for you. And I promise you, you're never going to be able to do that if all you do is sit in a row on Sunday mornings. You're never going to experience what God has in store for you. Until you connect into a group, until you begin to trust God with your finances, until you begin to serve and to become a part of a team and use your gifts for his purposes, you're never going to experience all that he has in store. And so right now, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to actually, we're going to sing a song together. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing a song together. As we sing this closing song, kind of conclude this series together, it's just an opportunity for you to stop and to think, reflect, pray, and decide. Where can I serve? Where can I get involved? What will that look like? And by the way, if you put your name on a thing out there, you're going to be called. If you take one of those spots and through that conversation, you decide, hey, that really isn't the best fit. We'll find another place. We'll find the right fit for you. So give it your best guess this morning and we'll get you connected in the best possible way. And I promise you're going to have a great time with that. So I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing a song together. And when we're done this morning, I would love for you to fill out that card, place it on that board, and then we'll contact you this week. And we'll be ready for an incredible year as God does some incredible things in you and in the people around you and through our church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful that we get to do what we do, and we know that you have entrusted us with so much. We've just had so much opportunity through our church, Father, just to lead people into a growing relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the fact that you've entrusted us with that, and we're grateful for it because we know that in this community there are thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people, Father, that are far from you. And they need to know, they need to not just know, but they need to experience what it means to have a relationship with you, to understand what an incredible thing it is, Father, to experience the joy and the peace and the forgiveness that you provide to us. Father, your grace is so incredible. And I am so overwhelmed when I look into my own life and see what you've done for me, that I just want to share that with as many people as I can. And I don't want there to be anything that holds us back from doing that. And so, Father, I just pray that you would guide us as a church as we get ready to kick off this new school year, this new ministry season, Father, as we get ready just to invite people to come and experience you. I pray that we would do all that we can to remove those distractions and to create an incredible environment so people can experience you as those disciples did, those first people that followed you, Father, that experienced the miracles and the miraculous things that you did. I pray, Father, that you would just guide us in that. Thank you for letting us have an opportunity to be a part of that and for letting us live in a country where we're free to be able to do that. So, Father, we love you, and it is in the name of Jesus that we know that we can pray this in all things. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.